All right, welcome to another deep dive. Today we're diving into Gensokyo, a world where humans and mythical beings live side by side.
And it looks like we're in for a wild ride. The source material is packed with action, humor, those character dynamics that keep you hooked.
You know it. It's like a love letter to those classic monster movies, but with a unique twist. And speaking of monsters, let's talk about our unconventional hero, Dracunia. Picture this. A dragon girl, raring for a good fight. Brimming with that fiery energy.
Oh, she practically leaps off the page. Boisterous, always up for a challenge, fiercely loyal to her friends. But there's a hidden depth to her, too. Beneath all that fire, she's surprisingly vulnerable.
It's that mix of strength and vulnerability that makes her so compelling. But before we get too far, let's set the stage for this deep dive. Gensokyo's facing a crisis. Ran, a powerful kitsune, has transformed into this colossal monster, wreaking havoc everywhere.
Talk about a classic monster movie trope, but here's where it gets interesting. Instead of succumbing to fear, the story injects this dose of humor right into the chaos.
Oh, totally. I mean, look at Dracunia's reaction to the whole crisis. She's not afraid, she's thrilled. It's like she sees this as her ticket to becoming a legendary hero. You know?
Exactly. And then there's Anon, her human friend, who brings that grounded, level-headed perspective to the table. You need that contrast with all the excitement.
For sure. For sure. It's the classic dynamic duo, right? You've got Dracunia's over-the-top enthusiasm and Anon's like, okay, hold on, let's think about this.
It makes for such a fun dynamic. Their personalities play off each other so well. It injects humor even in these high-stakes situations.
Speaking of which, facing a giant, rampaging fox monster, you're going to need some serious firepower, right? That's where the miracle mallet comes in.
Ah, yes. This magical artifact, it can change the size of anything. Imagine the possibilities, but also, you know, the potential for chaos.
Well, there's always chaos with Dracunia. In her excitement to tackle the problem, her first attempt with the mallet, well, let's just say she ends up a little too large for their bunker.
A classic case of be careful what you wish for. It's what sets the tone for the whole story. Action-packed, yeah, but with a healthy dose of humor mixed in.
Exactly. But there's something else going on beneath the surface. It's subtle, but the story hints at those deeper themes. Friendship, responsibility, desire. It makes you think, you know?
Absolutely. It reminds us that even the most fantastical stories can hold a mirror up to ourselves and the world around us. It's what makes a good story great.
Couldn't have put it better myself. Now with Dracunia at a slightly more manageable size, thanks to some fine-tuning with the Miracle Mallet, our heroes are off to confront Ran. And let me tell you, their clash, it's epic. The story doesn't hold back when describing the brawl between Dracunia and Ran.
It's a whirlwind of action. Judo throws, tail whips, fiery breath attacks. The author paints this vivid picture of this clash of titans. But even with all the chaos, there's still that playfulness, you know?
Right. It's like Dracunia sees the whole thing as this grand performance. One minute she's trading barbs with Ran. The next, bam, she unleashes this devastating attack.
Classic Dracunia. Always equip ready, even in the heat of battle. Speaking of which, have you noticed her fighting style? It's as wild and unpredictable as her personality.
Yeah, it's definitely more about raw power than, you know, refined technique, like her signature move, the elbow spike. It's strong, sure, but kind of clumsy, too, if you think about it.
Which kind of sums up her whole approach, doesn't it? She's impulsive, relying more on instinct than strategy. But here's the thing. It kind of works.
You think that impulsiveness hints at, like, potential for growth, though?
Yeah.
Could she learn to channel that raw power into something even stronger, more controlled?
No, that's a great question. Maybe this fight, as chaotic as it is, will end up being that wake-up call for her. But for now, it's all instinct, for better or worse.
And in this case, it seems to be working for her. Despite the unorthodox style, Dracunia starts gaining the upper hand.
And then, the tide turns. She lands this final, decisive blow. It's a brutal victory, one that leaves its mark on her, literally. And I think it's in this moment, as the adrenaline fades, we see a different side to Dracunia.
Yeah, that weight of her actions, the realization of what she's capable of,
It
seems to temper that usual boisterous energy. She's vulnerable in a way we haven't really seen before.
Exactly. Don't get me wrong. She's still proud of herself. But there's something else mixed in now. Exhaustion, maybe, or even a touch of regret.
And in that moment, she leans on Anon for support. And it's there, in the quiet aftermath, that we get this glimpse into the true depth of their relationship. It's a real turning point, setting the stage for what comes next. Things settle down a bit as we find Dracunia carrying an unconscious Ran Tiantai, you know, for healing. It's a far cry from that intense battle we just witnessed.
It really is. You can feel the weight of what just happened. It's like the story's giving us and them a chance to breathe, a chance for things to come out.
And come out they do. Dracunia confesses her feelings for Anon. No playful banter this time, just raw honesty. You can tell it catches Anon off guard.
It definitely throws a wrench into their dynamic, right?
Yeah.
You've got Dracunia running high on adrenaline, feeling closer than ever after that fight, and then there's Anand trying to process everything, including his own feelings.
It's like the story just throws this curveball, and suddenly we're dealing with the unspoken tension that's been building this whole time.
It really makes you think about consent agency, especially with Dracunia's personality, you know. She doesn't exactly hold back, and then she kisses him.
But here's the thing. Anon finds his voice. He challenges her teasing, pushes back, and sets those boundaries. He's not just going to go with the flow.
It's a powerful shift. At first, he's taken aback, but then he stands his ground. He demands that respect. It reminds everyone listening, including Dracunia, that consent is a two-way street, a conversation.
And this is where their dynamic gets even more interesting, especially when you consider how Dracunia keeps calling Anon Cherry Boy.
Right. On the surface, it sounds like a term of endearment. But you can't ignore the other implications. Like, is she truly seeing him for who he is? Or is it, well, a little objectifying?
It doesn't escape Anon, I'll tell you that. He calls her out on it, reminding her that he has a say in all this.
No.
And her response, she tries to seduce him using JavaScript's code.
Only Dracunia, am I right? It's such a perfect blend of humor, and let's be honest, it's pretty hot. It's unexpected, definitely unique to them, and shows how much they connect on this different level.
Even if it does throw Anon for a loop at first, he's flustered, sure, but also intrigued. It all culminates in this charged scene where Dracunia, overcome with desire, pins him down.
And her language in that scene, whoa, you see a possessiveness, this yearning that we haven't seen from her before. It's almost like her dragon nature is influencing how she approaches intimacy. But then Anon does something unexpected.
He turns the tables,
Yeah.
takes control. Even Dracunia is surprised. It reinforces this idea that no matter how unconventional the relationship is, it takes two.
Totally. And afterwards, there's a change in Dracunia. She's still her confident self, but there's this newfound respect for Anon's boundaries. It's almost like they're on more equal footing now.
But just when you think you've got them figured out, the story throws one last curveball. Dracunia, maybe trying to regain some control, offers to fix Anon's soiled trousers, you know, with a miracle mallet. But she implies that she might make them disappear altogether.
Talk about a loaded suggestion. It definitely leaves things open-ended, especially when Anon expresses his desire for some JavaScript dirty talk. Talk about leaving us wanting more.
Right. This story, it doesn't give you easy answers, a nice little bow on top. Instead, it invites you to think about their relationship, about all its complexities. Where do they go from here? What happens next?
It's the mark of a good story. We went from a monster brawl to exploring desire, consent, all within this fantastical world.
It's been quite the deep dive. We saw how humor and vulnerability go hand in hand, how power dynamics can change, and how even the most unconventional relationships can teach us something about connection. It makes you think.
It does, and on that note, we'll leave you with this. What awaits Dracunia and Anon? What new challenges will they face? How will their bond evolve? Those are questions for you to ponder. Until next time, happy diving.